In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue in the season of Epiphany, our readings keep showing us God being made known to the world in Jesus Christ. How do we know what God is like? Is God just a remote, distant figure, you know, the big old man with a white beard in the sky? Epiphany shows us that God is no longer invisible and unknowable, but made known to us in the person of Jesus Christ. In this week's readings, we find a God who calls us by a new name, gives us a new identity. We find God appearing in the middle of a wedding celebration, a God who cares about mundane things and who gives abundantly and extravagantly, turning water into the very best wine. God's desire for creation is abundance. Whether offering hope to the broken and destitute people of Isaiah's time, or changing water into wine at the wedding in Cana, or engaging with our lives and our world today, God keeps bringing extravagant grace and abundant renewal. They have no wine. I hear a question in Mary's voice as she points out to Jesus that the wedding guests have nearly run out of wine. I hear a question that I carry deep within myself at times, a question that's familiar to us. Will I have enough? Are we running out? Are we rich enough? Are we safe enough? Do I have enough for my retirement? Are we good enough? Will we go over budget? Can I put dinner on the table and pay the mortgage and keep the wolf from the door? Mary's question is a worrying question about scarcity and security. I hear it in her voice. And Jesus answers it as Jesus always does, with abundance. The Bible is full of stories of weddings and feasts as metaphors for the kingdom of God. The prophet Isaiah compares Israel's future joy to a wedding celebration. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. The psalm describes a feast of abundance, ready for everyone, no matter what their place in the world's hierarchy. This gospel story today tells us that Mary and Jesus were at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. As Mary seemed to be involved in the organisation, it must have probably been a family wedding. And to the great embarrassment and possibly shame of the bride's family, the wine starts to run out. The story tells us that with his mother Mary and his disciples present, Jesus turned 6 stone pots full of water into good quality wine. My little calculations made that about 600 litres of grange, which is kind of hard to imagine at the end of a party. So this miracle is about quantity and quality. When Jesus got involved in the problem, there was far more wine than people could drink, and far better quality wine than they were expecting at the end of a wedding after days and days of feasting. The God that Jesus reveals to us in this Epiphany story is a God of lavish generosity and abundance, a God of joyfulness. We find a God who calls us from emptiness to excess, from the least to the best. John crafts his whole gospel around a series of signs that show us Jesus' divine nature. This story is one of them. It's the first of the signs of who Jesus is. Jesus, the one who embodies God, who shows us God, is the one who lives and demonstrates absolute abundance. As always, we have to not only read this is a wonderful story and bask in this image of an abundant giving God, but we have to ask ourselves some questions. Abundance? How much is enough? How much do we need? Why are we in the West so blessed with abundance, yet so many in our world are not? These are critical faith questions. How simply should we live? How much should we accumulate? Why do others have less? One of the shocking facts in our world is the amount of food waste that's dumped by Western countries when many others across the world are hungry. Our abundance is paid for by the people of the world who have nothing. It has a cost. Perhaps we think that these things are not matters for faith, they're matters for politics. But if we're to be faithful followers of Jesus, if we care anything at all about the spiritual life, then we have to get out our calculators and look at what abundance means in our world today and how it affects the way that then we choose to live, day by day, moment by moment, in all the small choices. Throughout Scripture, we find that the Christian life is defined by care for others. When Jesus responded to a question about the most important commandment, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." Care for others, especially care for the weak and the vulnerable wherever they are, is central to the Christian life. And there's a parable that tells us that our neighbour's not always the person we most expect it to be, but the person we least expect. We should be concerned, for instance, that the people of Fiji and Vanuatu are under actual physical threat from climate change, and we should speak up about it. Climate change is physically going to affect their lives. Living the Christian life is not about easing into a nice, comfortable relationship with a benign God when we have time for it. It's not about a private peace or a personal path to enlightenment, but it is about living out the love and the abundance of God in every choice we make, in every decision we make about how we live and how we give. Choices about food and clothes and cars and recreation and water and heat and light. All choices that affect the weak and the vulnerable in our world. These choices are about economics, but they're also spiritual choices. It's God's intention, as we see in the life of Jesus, the one who turned water into wine, the one who sat down to eat with the wrong people. It is God's intention that all of life should flourish. Our task is to help make sure that this flourishing happens in the place where God dwells, that is our earth, our world, and among God's people everywhere, those in the West as well as those in the third world. To help with this kind of living, we need to take note of some of God's house rules. God's house rules are different from the ones we see in action around us, which tell us you're free to amass as many material goods as you lawfully can, or the more toys, the better. If we really see ourselves living in a global village, the rules of God's house are: take your share only, clean up after yourselves, keep the house in good repair for future occupants. In this way, God's abundant giving in creation is shared. It's not restricted to just a wealthy few taking more than their share. In the end, we can only do these things. We can think about them, but actually to do them as a daily practice really requires a radical commitment to the way of Christ. Absolute radical commitment to live differently in every aspect of our lives, right down to the way we organise our dollars and cents and our lifestyle, because that is what Jesus Christ, the one who shows us God, calls us to. How often do we pour out the inferior wine? How often do we offer inferior gifts? How often do we plaster over the cracks in our lives, hoping no one will notice? How often do we take far more than our share of God's abundance, leaving others without? The wine that Jesus offers us is the best wine. It's the wine of a changed, transformed life. God's grace is abundant and transformational. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said, "They have no wine." Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and the rest is history. In the coming year, may we, each of us, find such abundance and such grace in the living God. The Lord be with you.